We're live, Mayor.
Thank you. I'd like to call to order this special meeting of the City Council on March the 23rd, 2022. Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Councilmember Nixon?
Here.
Councilmember Curtis?
Here.
Councilmember Falcone?
Here.
Councilmember Pascal?
Here.
Deputy Mayor Arnold?
Here.
Mayor Sweet?
Here. Councilmember Black would be here this evening, but in trying to put together as many special meetings as we have been putting together lately, sometimes we just can't accommodate everybody being here. So he is out of town, but we'll be paying very special attention. And of course, as you know, we are recording this, so we should be good for him. This is a special meeting to receive public comments regarding police body-worn cameras. Before we hear from our community, which is what we're here to do, our Deputy City Manager, Jim Lopez, is going to provide a brief orientation. Jim.
Thank you so much, Mayor Sweet, and thank you, council members, tonight for being part of this really important meeting on body-worn cameras. I'd also like to recognize and thank our City Manager, Kurt Triplett, who's here tonight, and David Wahlberg, our communication program manager. That's from the city manager's office. We also have from the Kirkland Police Department Chief Sherry Harris, Deputy Chief Mike St. Jean, and Deputy Chief Todd Axtall, and our civilian administrative commander, Melissa Petricor, who plays such a critical role in the development of this, this program, and it's really a joy to work with you. I think Darcy Ellers from the city manager's, from the city attorney's office is out there too. So thank you, Darcy. For joining tonight. So it's a very important evening tonight. So let's just jump right into the agenda. We want to make sure that and David, maybe you could share some slides. What we want to do tonight is we want to build the program really around you and your comments. It's all about listening to your insight, your support, your concerns. The council is here and they will be commenting at the end of the evening. But as you can see by the agenda, I'm gonna get through this in 10 minutes, I promise. And then most of the evening is devoted to you and your comments at 60 minutes. Towards the end, I'll return it to Mayor Sweet and the council will be listening throughout the night. We'll be able to make a comment or to give some perspective. So let's talk about some key points about tonight's meeting. As we talked about, the City Council is in attendance to hear, to listen and to share information amongst each other and with us, the staff. Your feedback will really help inform the council's decision on this matter. I'm gonna talk about that in a little more detail. Tonight's town hall, very similar format to what we did several years ago for our gun safety and community safety civic engagement program, is just the beginning of a really kind of intense community engagement period. After tonight, we're going to have some additional opportunities for you to engage the city I'm going to talk about in a minute. All of the engagement will inform the council's decision on this topic. Please note, tonight the meeting is being recorded, so we will be able to post it on our website and folks can come at their own time to see the important information that we're going to receive. There are several other ways for you to give feedback to the city, starting with our webpage, kirklandwa.gov/bodyworn cameras. We aspire to build these web pages to provide us all the information you need to help you make an informed decision and then for you to communicate that opinion to the council so that the council can make an informed decision. So please, I urge you to go to the webpage. You will see on the webpage the opportunity to sign up for some follow-up focus groups. So in addition tonight, what we've done is we've created three opportunities, about 6 hours of opportunities to follow up on tonight's meeting. First, we've designed a couple hours for a weekday. I think that's gonna be Monday the 28th. We're gonna post these opportunities on the website during the week, during normal business hours. We also designated an evening, which will probably be April 6th, for 2 hours for folks that are not available to come during the weekday hours. And we've also set aside 2 hours on a weekend, and that will probably be April 9th on a Saturday. So there are a lot more opportunities for you to engage tonight, and I urge you to visit our website and participate if you can. We've also included this magic number, this text, 425-305-1305. That's David Walbrick, our communication program manager's cell phone, his city cell phone. We know a lot of people communicate via text, not so much via email or phone. You can send David anything you want. You can send a comment, you can ask a question, you can inquire about being part of a focus group via text. So please take us up on that and use that platform if that's your preferred method of communication. And I would say the most important thing, of course, is to contact the city council. And here's the direct link, kirklandwa.gov/council, to send your comments to the decision makers in this important work. So there's a lot out there for you to be engaged, and please take us up on our offer. We would love to hear from you. The other part, other key points of insight for tonight's meeting is three principles of community engagement that we like to espouse every time we do one of these events, which is simply, we arrive as a community, we leave as a community. One of the reasons why we have the best city in America is because we have an amazing community and we care for each other. And we take the time to come out and talk about really difficult things together and try to work through them together. That's what makes a community. And I know sometimes issues that we present can be controversial and difficult to discuss, but it's always good to remind all of us ourselves to remain caring and respectful of each other. But that does not mean we don't want you to come with passion. We love passion. We know there's a lot of passion behind these issues, and the council is eager to hear your passion and for you to speak your mind. We do so respectfully. It's another thing we really do well. We speak with passion, and we welcome that. And finally, what we like to do in these meetings is identify common ground. As civil servants, as public servants, our role is to find the interests behind these important issues and seek and probe and try to figure out where there's common interests and common ground. Ultimately, our goal is always to create good policy so that we can improve the lives and quality of life of all of us together in our city. So please remember those principles as we move forward. I know you will. There is no chat tonight, but you will be given opportunity to speak, and we look forward to hearing your thoughts on that. So before we move forward, and I'm almost through to the feedback portion of our evening, I thought we would talk just some brief history around body-worn cameras. Our history as a city certainly goes earlier than Resolution 5434, which was adopted in the summer of the year 2020, shortly after George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis, Minnesota. In fact, I think that very year, earlier than the summer, the council was getting updates on body-worn camera policy. But I start with 5434, because inside that legislation back in August of 2020, there was a very specific provision that the council directed staff to develop a police body camera pilot program. So from that resolution back in 2020, we worked through into a budget. And in the 21-22 budget, you could see really the significant resources the council has allocated for the community safety initiative in total. And we are moving forward on several of these, all of these very, very important initiatives, well-funded initiatives. The body-worn camera portion of that is part of the funding for the 21-22 budget. So very briefly, thought we would put a slide in about our peer cities, our sister cities, and what they're doing with body-worn cameras. There is a lot of these cities that have approved body-worn camera programs or have them in operation. We can post this map on our site. We're looking at these cities and how they're doing it as part of our program. And that is a good transition to really kind of the mandate that we have in the city manager's office to do this critical community input. The council has directed an intention to proceed with a body-worn camera program, and it's designed to increase safety, transparency, and accountability. But before making that final decision, they have directed us for significant community input. And that really is what tonight is all about, and all of the points of contact with the city moving forward into April and May. That is what we hope to accomplish. The council will likely take up the issue in May. I think there is a presentation scheduled for May 3rd. And I think currently the plan is for the council to decide potentially on the May 17th council meeting. So the rest of March and the solid portion of April and then into May, we'll be getting input on this decision. So let me turn your attention to the community comment period, which will be the lion's share of tonight's event. What we've done in order to facilitate everybody having voice tonight is we've created a process that will take comments by rounds. And I'll explain this in greater detail in a minute. Essentially, we'd like to, kind of similar to what we did before in a town hall, is to find those folks who are supportive and those folks who are not supportive. And then what we're going to do is group the comment period in groups of three. So round one will be those folks that are not supportive. I flipped a coin in my office earlier, so not supportive would go first, or generally not supportive. This isn't a hard and fast rule. We want everybody to have voice. We're trying to organize it as efficiently as we can. And then we'll go to three for supportive, and then we'll oscillate back and forth throughout the night. You will let us know about your intention to speak via raising a hand in Zoom, *9, I think is how you do that. David Walbrook will then take the folks who have raised their hand in first come, first serve basis. And we really feel like with the number of registrants tonight, we have a good chance of having everybody speak. We are going to limit it to 2 minutes each when you speak. And I had a great professor once who told me never practice math in public, but I've got David working behind the scenes. So we're going to try to figure it out so that we can get everybody involved. So we're going to start tonight with a poll, and the poll is going to come up on Zoom. And the question is really going to be pretty straightforward. What we really just need to know is, do you intend to speak tonight? Because once we know that total number, we can do the math and allocate the time accordingly. So if you just take a minute and yes, no, or maybe is fine. We'll just do a little back-end calculation on the maybes, and then we'll move forward into our agenda, and we'll give a little bit more time. David, you let me know when we're ready to roll. The thinking again is once we have the number of people that want to speak, we'll start going into the rounds of comment. 2 minutes. We do have, as I noted, city staff here to answer. We do have city staff to answer technical questions, but we're really not going to answer or have a policy discussion. That will come through the small group session. Tonight, we want to make sure the council hears hears the input that you need to hear. So am I hearing we're ready to go?
Jim, so it looks like we have around 9 who are intending to speak tonight and 5 that are a maybe at this point. And it looks like around 10 or so, 10 voted not to, or that they're not intending to speak at this time.
So if we have 9 intending and 5 maybe, we're going to allow Kathy Anderson, we're going to allow 3 minutes per person, not 2. Because we have sufficient time to allow for 3. And David and Kathy, you tell me if that's not going to work, but.
Oh, Jim, that should work well. Thank you.
Okay, so let's up the time period to 3 minutes per person. And thank you all for participating in the poll, and time is set for 3 minutes. So jumping right into the event, David, what I'm going to ask is everybody that wants to speak, who is generally not inclined or has concerns, if you don't mind raising your hand, everyone in that category, and David will sort that through based on a first come, first serve, but please know all of you will get to speak tonight for 3 minutes.
Hey, well, Jim, I'm seeing, it looks like we have six people so far. So I think for this first round, we'll just take it from the top. And we'll go, it'll be MJ Carlson, and then Susan, and then Taylor. And then we'll hop down to the rest of them for round two.
Okay, thank you.
It'll be Maria, Sarah Franklin, and Kirsten.
So maybe we stop sharing our screen and we'll move into the evening.
Oh, am I on?
Welcome, I'm here. MJ. Thank you.
Hi, long time no see, Jim.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone, Mayor, City Council staff, neighbors. Hi. I didn't think I was going to get to go first, but I'm kind of pleased I am, because I really wanted to introduce some data here to kind of ground us in the research about body cams. And you know me, I brought studies. So, between the police murders of Eric Garner and Michael Brown in 2014 and the police murder of George Floyd in 2020, the number of body cameras in use by police in the US just about doubled. It's been one of the fastest proliferations of policing technology ever. And so as Kirkland is pondering in 2022 whether to adopt this technology, we have the privilege of being able to look back at a lot of data and research that has been done into this technology and how effective it is in the goals. And what I'm going to draw on here are two excellent meta-analyses that have been done of all of the randomized controlled trials of body cameras in police departments in the United States. What these two studies find is that police cameras, body cameras, have almost no provable effect on police behavior or community behavior in any way. There is not a statistically significant decrease in the use of force that police use as a result of body cameras. In fact, since I have 3 minutes, not two. Oh no, it's blurry. How do I turn off blur? Can I convince it that this is a face instead? I cannot. There we go. Okay, there we go, vaguely. 13 studies found that it decreased police violence. 11 studies found that it increased police violence. And the confident 95% confidence interval is either minus 20%, anywhere between minus 20% to plus 8% in use of force. So there is no relationship found between the adoption of body cameras and a decrease in police use of force. There's also no significant decrease in assaults on officers or number of stop and frisks or arrests or any of the other things monitored. So if the city is hoping that body cameras will improve safety, as Mr. Lopez said, there's really no reason to think that it will. When police feel justified in the use of violence and they know they won't face consequences for using it, having a body camera doesn't hold them back. And more anecdotally, Derek Chauvin was wearing a body camera when he murdered George Floyd. The people who murdered Breonna Taylor were wearing body cameras. So the research does not show that this improves safety. There is a statistically significant decrease in complaints against officers by about 17%, but there has not been follow-up research into whether those are frivolous complaints or legitimate complaints.
Thank you, MJ. We're at time.
We're at time. Okay, I'm sorry, I missed that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's no way we'll be as gracious as Mayor Sweet here monitoring this 3 minutes, but we'll do our best.
We have Susan.
Hi, I think, can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I've never public spoke during the online. My name is Susan Davis. I also sent an email earlier today. I've lived in Kirkland for a little more than 21 years and I have two teenagers. So I just heard MJ's comment about, you know, cameras possibly not helping with police force. Well, my background is a little different. So I'm frugal. I don't like maybe the possibility of us spending $1 million for body cams. I'm glad we're able to get this grant. I wanted to give a couple of comments tonight because I believe that the city of Kirkland should accept this grant and get the police force equipped with body cameras. I think there's many pros of having body cameras, and I think we could be a safer community with the community and also police officers safer as well. I think we should also, if we do get body-worn cameras, we should work as quickly as possible to release the footage, because as we know, it's always sensationalized on the news. For example, on March 21st, Pasco Police Department had this, they had a call to two men that were getting in a fight with a knife. I sent the link, police came, it was all documented. Unfortunately, the guy with the knife really harmed the other guy. The guy with the knife wouldn't put it down. I think they shot him, not a lethal shot. Anyways, it's life, it was documented. You could see both sides what's happening. The police, I don't know if they did what was right, but I'm pretty sure that someone who's a specialist could tell. One of the major things that I'm calling in about is I knew that there'd be some people like MJ who's in a lot of council meetings, which is great, making public comment. You know, I've had to hear with how not wanting school resource officers. Let you know, I support school resource officers and the majority of Kirkland residences as well. In November 2018, we actually passed Proposition 1, which was enhanced police services and community safety badger ballot. People want a safer community, okay? This is it. And my personal story. So my mom didn't make the best decisions in life. From 1987 to about 1993, she was in very unhealthy relationships. At the time I was age 12 to age 16. And domestic violence, right? So call 911. Unfortunately, the officers arrive. My mom's there, her boyfriend, well, my stepdad, my second stepdad, whatever, is different circumstances. And guess what? Mom's has some bruises, all messed up, right? You know, kids are crying, going, he hit her. Well, guess what? No body cameras, nothing documented. Again, I understand this is 1990-ish area. You didn't have this, but I really believe, and I've read up on this, that police body cameras are a powerful tool in domestic violence cases. When an officer wearing a camera arrives at a domestic violence scene, the camera is able to record the immediate aftermath of the attack, Susan, including injuries.
Yes, sir. We're moving over the 3-minute point. So.
Oh, sorry. So anyways, I think these would help in these cases, and we know domestic violence is on the rise, and I support. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. I didn't get a chance to thank MJ. Thank you very much, MJ, as well. Thank you both. So we're going to, David, if we could focus the next two on the not support, then we'll move to two on the support so we can balance them out. I think that was a support.
And so I think next up we have Taylor, who indicated that they would like to speak generally in the not support category.
And Taylor, could you give us your last name as well?
Well, it looks like you're muted, Taylor.
Got it. Can you hear me now? All right. I just wanted to say, what MJ had to say was really interesting. And so I'd be curious about looking into it further. I don't know that I come out in a strong support or not support either way. My thoughts are more in the line of question. I'll adapt it to a comment, but it's something to consider is what I'm really concerned about. And I do think it's in line with what MJ was talking about is to me in this policy, it doesn't look like there's any clear accountability structure for this policy. So if the policy is violated, If a video disappears, if a camera is turned off at any point in time, what is the clear accountability structure within the policy so that we as a community know that officers are being held accountable for the decisions that they make? And that's it. I'll be much shorter than 3 minutes.
And Taylor, do you mind please sharing your name, your last name for us?
Taylor Bowlby.
Thank you, Taylor. That's really good feedback for us to have to make sure that how we're communicating this via the policy and all other ways we communicate our program respond to that concern.
Yeah, and I think next up we have Sarah Franklin.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you. My name is Sarah Franklin, and I live in South Rose Hill. I'm also on the organizing team for Indivisible Kirkland. And as you've heard this evening, there are some concerns about the efficacy of body-worn cameras. And Indivisible Kirkland absolutely does not want them implemented in Kirkland. However, I will say that the structure of your website and of this evening's town hall make it seem that it's possible the council is leaning heavily towards a body cam program. And if that's the case, we would like to offer some guardrails that we strongly feel should be in place prior to implementing a body cam program. The first one, and I think one that's really important, is that the KPD budget should not increase to cover the cost of a new program. The funding must be found within the current budget. So we're definitely in favor of a smaller policing footprint, not a larger one. So at the very least, maintaining what currently exists in terms of the budget. And just as Susan mentioned, the SRO program is one that we've had a lot of concerns about. And the annual cost of running the body cam program is actually on par with the SRO program. So we would strongly, emphatically encourage that the money from the SRO program be shifted towards body cams if that is the decision that you guys go towards with this program. The shift in budget would also make sense since safeguards to privacy would need to be in place, including protecting children and schools from being filmed, making a body cam program and an SRO program a bit at odds with each other. Privacy issues, just in general, especially for youth and those with mental health issues, will need to be of paramount importance. And so that is something that will also need to be in place prior to implementing this program. And we want to make sure that if this program does go into effect, that the footage is held by an independent authority and that officers must make their statements, their official statements, prior to seeing the footage. Also, we would want to see a civilian oversight board in place to have access to unedited footage and authority to act upon concerning footage. And Taylor was talking about, officers need to be held accountable for having their cameras on at all appropriate times. And most importantly, there need to be specific goals for the body cam program that have measurable outcomes for success. I just want to emphasize that, measurable outcomes for success. So when you say safety, what does that mean and what does that look like? When you talk about transparency and accountability, what does that mean and what does that look like? So these measurable outcomes need to be identified before implementing the program. And there needs to be, that needs to be disclosed to the community before we get to that point. And I just want to say that we really want to spend our time and money on efforts that have proven positive outcomes for health and safety, Sarah, like the community responder program and supportive housing, rather than this. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And we certainly hear that all of those points, including measurable outcomes for success as part of the program. So I do want to remind everybody, given the number of speakers we have, we expect everybody to be able to speak tonight for 3 minutes. So that's good news. David, if we could perhaps take a show of hands for those folks speaking in support. I think we have 2 slots for this round.
So I've noted those that have raised their hands already. And so that's Kirsten, Bill, Maria, and Brad. And so we're just going to ask for you to put your hands down just so we can then ask for folks who would like to speak in generally in support of body-worn cameras. So we'll now, if add that now. Okay, we'll start with Brad and we'll see if who else wants to share. So Brad Williamson.
Thank you, Brad.
Okay, can everybody see me?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I'm Brad Williamson. I'm a resident at Kingsgate for 10 years now, lived in the United States for 20 years. And I want to say I'm in support of the body cameras. I mean, one of the things I've learned moving over to the US is we have a police department that actually looks after our citizens. In the light of the recent Menchie's incident, the K-Tub incident, and also incidents around the country, I think it's good that we have transparency to record what's going on, but we have to do this with some guardrails in place. I mean, the first guardrail I'd like to see is when a police officer is not in active law enforcement mode, for example, talking to someone on the street or just having a general conversation, they shouldn't be recording it. And also have make them accountable. The second thing I would like to see is make sure the footage is accurately used to be reflected, let's say in a court, because I mean, let's say a police officer records 5 minutes of it and suddenly they take 2 minutes out of that and use it as evidence where the other 3 minutes could actually change the way that video is perceived. We need to make sure that law enforcement officers are actually given the tools on actually how to record the data and store the data and actually disseminate the data so it can be effectively used for its intended purposes. If we have police officers turning them on and off randomly or just cutting out randomly just stop recording, courts are not going to see the full context of why that stuff is recorded. And then things are going to be misconstrued. And then people are going to say, what's the point of having this in the first place? So anyway, I think it's good to see Kirkland committed to transparency. I think it will be a good thing, but there needs to be guardrails on how it's properly used, how it's how the recordings are stored, utilized, and then used all the way up into a court. And also protect our First Amendment rights where we can talk and not have to worry about them recording everything we say when they're not in a law enforcement capacity. No, I appreciate the time and thank you for setting up this meeting.
Thank you very much, Brad. In addition to all the points you made, we certainly hear about making sure that the body-worn camera video is contextual. It's as broad as possible so that it sees the entire incident and doesn't isolate one part of the incident. So it's accurate to the whole of the what was recorded. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
So David?
Yeah, well, as of now, we don't have anyone else with their raised hand. So this is, if anyone is wishing, late breaking, here's Denise Jones, and then followed by Bill.
Thank you, Denise.
Hi, everyone. Sorry about the delay there. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak on this issue. My name is Denise Jones, and I am in favor of the body-worn camera program. A little background about me. I am a Kirkland resident living on Finn Hill and a member of the iFIT transparency team for the Kirkland Police Department. And I also participated in the Kirkland Police Academy in the fall of 2021. During the Community Police Academy, I had the opportunity to get to know some of the officers and understand not only the training and rigor the officers are put into their profession, but also the high standards placed upon officers for training and conduct by the City of Kirkland. I feel this program not only supports R5434 and the direction the city is choosing to move towards showing that we support and care for underrepresented members of our community, this program gives greater transparency if there is an incident of excessive force and need for investigation. I also support the opportunity for the city to employ more individuals in order to run this program, and I feel that the benefits far outweigh the costs. As stated in the beginning of this meeting, we are a beautiful community that appreciates and supports and cares for all community members. The body cam program gives opportunity for greater transparency for all parties involved. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Denise.
Look, we have Bill. And Bill, as you're coming on, can you please share your last name with us? Bill, it looks like you are currently muted.
Right.
There you go. Hello.
Thank you. Am I on?
You are.
Thank you. My name is Bill LaMarche. I'm a resident of Kirkland, 45 years. This is great. I really appreciate, by the way, the prior speakers. I'd like to just use my 3 minutes real briefly to list some questions that I think need to be answered. One is the availability of a video to a person who has been videoed, perhaps in a court case or whatever. I see that could be an issue. The second question was, what happens if someone that's being videoed might have been in an accident or whatever and is dazed or perhaps somewhat lacking in consciousness? Could someone else request a video to be continued or to be stopped? The third question would be the guarantee of privacy. If there's a witness that's being videoed or whatever, that might be a risk to that person if they are seen on a video by someone who perhaps is wishing for them to stop, put it that way. One more thing is I caught that section in the review of the document about a video camera might impact an explosive device. I think that needs to be looked into. Who knows what might be in a car or whatever that could be actionated by that. The other thing, two more things, the risk of exposure again to a witness who might have seen something. And if that video is then looked at by police officers, perhaps in training, would those people be exposed to the view, like in the police academy when I was there? That could be a risk. And lastly, the comment that came out in the very last part of the document about redaction of a document or a video. And I wondered, what does that really mean? Could part of a video be cut out, perhaps, that could cause at least the concern that maybe the police are hiding something or not? I am very pro for the cameras. I am. I just list those questions for the benefit of the group.
Thank you very much, Bill. And duly noted, particularly on the bomb issue. Thank you for raising that. We'll certainly have answers for you. So Bill has expressed an interest in being generally supportive, David, but we're kind of transitioning into the generally not supportive three. So it's not an exact science, but I would say let's do three for the not supportive and then we'll go back.
So it looks like, so Margaret, we see that you're there, but we'll come back to you after we get to three that are generally not supportive of the program. It looks like first up in that camp is Maria Harwell. So Maria?
Welcome, Maria.
Thank you for having me. Hi, my name is Maria Harwell. I lived in Kirkland for 7 years before moving to Woodinville last year. But this is an issue that really impacts anyone that might ever show up in front of a Kirkland police officer, right? Because they're not just in Kirkland. We send Kirkland police officers to other cities for various things like investigations of other police departments and other things like that. So I hope that if anyone is watching this who isn't a resident of Kirkland, please don't be shy and come forward and speak your mind, because this is a matter that affects everyone. I admit I'm a little bit disappointed that there still is so much support for body-worn cameras. I sympathize because I used to support them too. I want to make that clear. I used to think that cameras would be just perfect. I was following the shooting of Michael Brown back in 2014, I believe that was, and wishing that there was video footage of that, because there was not at that time. However, I since then found new information. And just like has been mentioned, a lot of organizations that focus on these issues of civil rights and safety for members of the public, we're looking at the science now And I want to encourage everyone to not make a decision based on your gut feeling about, oh, this sounds like a good idea. That's not enough. And also, I would like to remind everyone that the resolution 5434 was created, you know, in a reaction to the killing of George Floyd, a Black man who was killed by someone who was wearing one of these body worn cams. He still died. And I hope people look at the data and realize that 1,134 people were killed by police in 2021. 97% of those people were killed by police shootings. And officers were charged with a crime in only 11 cases of those. 1% of all killings by police in 2021. Each year, fewer than 3% of killings by police result in officers being charged with a crime. So I understand wanting accountability. We're a ways away from that. What I want, though, is actual safety. And a camera is not going to stop a bullet at the end of the day. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Maria. To the second, really.
All right, so we currently don't have any others with their hand raised. Late breaking. Kirsten Hansen. Bring Kirsten up. Hi, welcome, Kirsten.
Hi, thank you. Good evening, everybody. My name is Kirsten Hansen. I live in Finn Hill, and I am also on the organizing committee of Indivisible Kirkland. And as you have already heard, our position is that the city should not purchase the body-worn cameras. And thank you, Brad, for the lead-in. I was planning to use the KPD incident at KTUB as an illustration of why body-worn cameras will not make the community safer, nor will they increase police accountability or community trust of the police. We heard Chief Harris say at the city council meeting last week that great care is taken to not use force, and that KPD officers take their time in deciding to use force. Yet in the video of the KPD incident at KTUB, it takes 3 seconds for the officer to throw to the ground the small 14-year-old child who was suspected of petty theft. Size and age of subject, as well as suspected crimes, are supposed to be taken into account when deciding on force. We see this same officer push the director of KTUB and pull a taser on the 14-year-old child's brother. And yet, the only policy the officer was found to have disobeyed is when he used curse words. Unfortunately, the video footage of and subsequent statement made by the city about this incident did nothing to increase community safety, officer accountability, or community trust. We don't need body-worn cameras. We don't need video footage of what police do. We need to change what they do and how they do it. Please don't implement this program. This money is so much better spent on the community responder program, affordable housing, mental health services. I could go on and on as to where this money could be better spent to make a greater impact on public safety. Thank you.
Thank you, Kirsten. Jim is experiencing some technical difficulties. So while he rejoins us, we'll go to our next hand raised, Margaret Bolt. Margaret. Welcome, Margaret. Looks like you are currently muted.
Do you hear me now?
Yes, welcome.
Okay. I am just a regular person. I don't support any organizations. I just feel I don't want to see body cameras. I have a lot of privacy issues. I don't want cameras around town watching me. I don't want, you know, drones flying over my house. I just have a lot of issues about how we're losing our privacy. And I don't feel I want to be on camera if there's a police incident. And I'm not sure that it's very helpful or what will happen to it after the incident. So I am against body cameras. I don't think the money is worth spending. I also think it can be a real distraction for a police officer. It's just one more thing they have to think about. Did I turn on my camera? Did I turn off my camera? Did I grab my taser? Did I save somebody? You know, I want them to really just totally focus on what they should be doing and not another piece of technology. So that's all I have to say, because the other people against body cameras have many more details of why it's not a good idea. But as a citizen, I want as little surveillance as possible on my life and those around me. I don't really think body camera is going to make me any safer, and it's a little too expensive. Thank you.
Okay, well, we have heard from three who are generally not supportive of body-worn cameras, and so we'll shift back to if there are any who are wishing to speak that generally are in favor of a body-worn camera program. Please raise your hand now. It's like starting off, we have James and Kristen Whitfield.
All right, well, looks like I can't get my video to start, so you'll just have to listen to me. It's good to see all of you again, and just want to briefly say that I'm not sure where I personally fall on this topic, because I'm not sure what I'm about to say is generally in support or generally not in support. I'm exactly sure where that lands. As you all know, my name is James Whitfield. Kristen is not here with me today. I am a member of the Right to Breathe Committee. One of the things that I'd like to say is that I think the people who have spoken today have done a great job of articulating really the position that Right to Breathe has on this, which is simply implementing body cameras by themselves will not necessarily lead to increased safety and respect for anyone, certainly not increased safety and respect for Black people. And so actually included body cams as a part of our oversight policy actions that we have been advocating on behalf of. So it really is a way to support the oversight activity as opposed to, frankly, even the other way around. Many people have given examples of video that they have seen that showed that police officers didn't actually change their behavior and/or that the behavior was still consistent with the existing rules. As far as we're concerned, we think that it's really critical that any body cam process includes both civilian oversight and the ability not simply to articulate whether or not the existing rules have been followed, but be able to raise as an issue to the police department, to the city council, and to the broader community when the existing rules need to be reviewed and possibly changed. And so oversight, from our perspective, needs to include both of those things. Civilians need to be involved in that process. And again, ultimately, the process should be used in order to help enhance safety and respect, to continue to evolve the rules that the police officers follow, as opposed to simply being a way to see the fact that police officers are following rules that simply don't ensure safety and respect in the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, James.
Okay, so we have a couple more slots for anyone who wants to speak generally in favor of body-worn camera program. Go ahead and raise your hand now. And I don't think we have anybody calling in, but if you are, star 9 is how you can indicate. Raise your hand if you are calling in on the Zoom. Well, Jim, I'm not seeing anyone raising hands, so I'll defer to you on if you want to shift back or just kind of open it up.
I think we open it up to, if there are no more in that category, I think we open it up now to anyone that would like to speak, and we do it on a first come, first serve basis. We are limiting at this point to people who have not spoken.
Well, Jim, I'm not seeing anyone raising their hand at this. Oh, we have someone. Gabby Lopez.
Welcome, Gabby.
Hi. I'm sorry, I had problems with technology. I have been waiting this a lot, and I think there are so many good arguments for accepting or being in favor or against body cameras. So I'm just going to give my personal opinion of what I would like for me if something happened to me. If I were a victim of police violence, or someone in my family was a victim of police violence, I would like to have evidence of that. I would like to have solid and concrete proof that that was unfair or unjust and that was not supposed to happen. I'm sure that all the reasons that people have provided here are true. We haven't seen that maybe having cameras today make people accountable for the bad things they have done. But I am kind of hopeful that eventually those systems that are not working today will work and that people will be held accountable, not only the police, but also the other side. No? Both sides can be held accountable if we don't behave as good people or good citizens. So if I were a victim of police violence or anybody in my family was a victim of police violence, I would like to have evidence of that. And I think that's everything I wanted to say.
Thank you very much, Gabby. So David, anyone else in the queue for?
Yes, Chris W. Chris.
Chris, please state your last name if you could.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Sorry. Technology. My name is Chris Watson. I'm a longtime resident of Finn Hill. I completed the police academy a number of years ago and wanted to express my, I'm not expressing my approval for body-worn cameras. Personally, I believe that our police force is already under a significant amount of stress. And adding another pair of eyeballs over their shoulder might just induce more stress and possibly lead to things that we may not want to have. I think that we have a professional force on duty. I think they're well-trained, and I'm not aware of any significant police brutality reports within the city, and think that any funding for this should be used elsewhere, should we have it, and would not support the use of body cams in the city of Kirkland. That's all I had to say.
Thank you, Chris.
Right, is there anyone else who hasn't spoken yet that would like to please raise your hand? Jim, we currently don't have anyone in the queue.
So we'll just give a few more seconds, Mayor Sweet, and then if there are no other folks that are desiring to speak, we'd like to turn it back over to you for council comment. We've budgeted 3 minutes per council member to close tonight's event.
Okay, Jim, I think we'll take it back. And then if we have some time at the end, there might be rebuttal. So I'm just going to go from council member to council member, and I'm going to read you as I see you on my screen. So I'm going to start with Deputy Mayor Arnold.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you to everybody that took the time this evening to share their views. This is a really complex, in-depth issue, and really appreciate the perspectives. The webpage that the city has really talks about some of the data that we've heard and the feedback from the community. And things have really evolved since we first started looking at this a couple of years ago. In fact, the ACLU's position has evolved. So several speakers have talked about that evolution as we have learned more. The review of studies from the ACLU article discusses the lack of, and folks have mentioned this tonight, the lack of substantive differences in things like prosecutions or use of force from the presence of body cams. But as we look at this, I want our approach to be Kirkland specific. I wouldn't expect that we're going to see a lot of prosecutions of officers, or given what we've seen in our use of force review, since it's rare enough that that's going to change that much. We give our officers a lot of discretion. And what we've heard from folks looking for changes in how we police is the situations on how they've objected to how force is used. So the question I have is, how can we use this video data? And one of the things I'm going to be asking about is, can this provide for better policing? And can we come up with some metrics beyond just instances where within policy to say, can we make things better? That's some of the questions I'm going to be asking. I appreciate what we've heard about accountability and privacy, and we'll be looking to make some changes in the draft policy. The ACLU model draft provides some interesting things to potentially add. Also, I've got some questions on from what we've heard about transparency in how we have this footage, if we have it, when is it required to be released, and what redaction has to happen. I'm going to want to drill into that in detail. Finally, I think the goal here really is better responses and better policing. We've heard some about priorities, and I believe that if it came down to a priority decision between community responders or other things, as a council, we've made that decision before. We were prioritizing community responders, but I believe we can do both at this point. So those are the things that I'm going to be looking at moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Falcone.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Well, I want to start off just by saying a big thank you to everyone who spoke tonight and everyone who's written into City Council with your thoughts on police-worn body cameras. We've heard a lot of really valid points, both from those in favor and those who oppose such a program. So you've given us a lot to think about. As Deputy Mayor mentioned, this is a very complex issue with a lot of factors to consider. And I realize that there are many different community member perspectives as well. I understand that on the surface, issuing police-worn body cameras seems like a win-win to increase both accountability and transparency. That said, we don't make decisions based purely on surface-level thoughts. We work hard to really understand an issue like this before making a decision. So I want everyone listening to know that we take this decision very seriously, and I personally am still listening and learning and will continue to do so. In having this conversation about police-worn body cameras, I'm thinking about three main questions. Why, whether, and then how. So our community has had a lot of very, very difficult yet necessary conversations over the past couple of years around the why. We know that we have a responsibility as a city to be transparent and to hold law enforcement to high standards of accountability. Next is the question of whether we should implement a police-worn body camera program in Kirkland. And this is where we are now. We haven't yet made a decision on whether or not to proceed with implementing such a program. So your input, both tonight and what we've received previously and what we'll receive in the near future, is very, very valuable part of this decision-making process. I understand that many want to see it implemented for a variety of reasons, and I also understand that many do not. To make this decision of whether to proceed, we need to understand whether this is something that the community wants and whether this is a proven solution that's likely to produce the results we're all looking for. The studies so far that I've seen have seemed fairly mixed. I know some studies have been referenced tonight, so if you could send those to us, that would be great. And also, as was mentioned earlier tonight, a police-worn body camera program will be a significant financial investment. So before we invest your tax dollars in a new program like this, we need to be confident that it'll be an effective program that will actually help make the community safer. Then, if we as your city council decide to implement such a program, we then need to consider how to best implement to achieve our desired outcomes. This would involve a lot of nuanced policy decisions around things that were mentioned tonight, such as when the cameras would have to be turned on and off, who stores and manages the data, how and when data are shared, et cetera. So again, thank you to everyone who shared tonight. As Deputy City Manager Jim Lopez mentioned, this is the beginning of a very robust public engagement process on this issue. We really want and need to hear from you. So please continue to share your thoughts with us as we work to make the best possible decision for our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Curtis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I actually did not come this evening with prepared comments because I really wanted to take the time to listen to what the audience had to say. And they did a very good job. And many of you brought up issues that I've been thinking about, privacy issues. Is the cost justified? How do we handle transparency? How do we archive? So forth. So I really sincerely appreciate everyone taking the time, and has also been stated, we have a long road ahead of us as we figure this out. It's a complex, difficult issue, and this is the first step on that journey. So thank you.
Mute button wouldn't work. Councilmember Nixon.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor, and to everyone else. I'll start by saying that I strongly support implementing a body cam program in Kirkland, and have held that position for many years, long before we adopted Resolution R5434. Reducing incidents of police use of force is not my primary goal for deploying body cams. Since, as we've recently seen in the dashboard, Kirkland already has very low levels. My primary goal is to get to the truth when something bad happens. My goal is justice. If tools are available that will help us get truth and justice, we should be using those tools. The statistic I'm most interested in is when video of an incident is available, how often did it help reach the truth? And I think there's plenty of evidence, plenty of data that shows that having the video does help. Body cams can help us hold people accountable for their actions, but perhaps even more importantly, body cams can help us exonerate people who are falsely accused of things they didn't do. That includes both police officers and the people they interact with in the community. Of course, body cams aren't perfect. They're not a panacea. Officers can forget to turn them on or off at the required times. Batteries can go dead. Uploads can fail. The relevant action can be outside the field of vision. And body cams don't read minds. They cannot tell us what people were thinking in the moment. But we can and will put policies and procedures in place to address many of those concerns based on global best practices to make the tool as effective as possible and to hold people accountable for following the policies. I agree with the folks from Indivisible and Right to Breathe. There are many other things we need to do in Kirkland to help everyone in our community feel safe, welcome, included, respected, and that they belong here. This is just one in a large number of things we need to be doing. I appreciate the input we've received tonight and look forward to seeing it all considered for inclusion in our policies and procedures so we have a successful pilot program and can proceed to full deployment. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Pascal.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Like everyone has said already, just really appreciate all the input that we've received, not just tonight, but over the last year or so. I mean, it's actually been a year and a half since we started talking about this. And just to lay it out there, I am conflicted about body cameras and I have not made a decision. I really wanted to come into this with an open mind. The town hall and the community input is really important to me in reaching that final decision. I would say that if we had unlimited resources, I would have probably fewer concerns beyond getting the policies and those guardrails that folks described correct as we use cameras. But as many of us have said, we have many needs and priorities throughout the community, and this is not a one-time cost. This is going to take ongoing resources to maintain and administer, and the cost benefit is still a little bit questionable in my mind. I'm worried about the cost will continue to grow as we move forward. And all this is going to essentially become a bureaucracy into itself. We're creating staff positions to just maintain the cameras and public disclosure. So I'm really focused on how best to use our limited resources as a government organization. I would say specifically talking about cameras, body-worn cameras, I'm concerned just about the overall surveillance nature of where we're going as a society, proliferation of videos and cameras and other monitoring devices is a concern. I'm also concerned about just how effective these will really be in affecting the goals that we want to achieve. I also, we've also been sent reports and other material that's been published by organizations about the use of body cameras. One that I read that was provided was that body-worn cameras disproportionately are used to prosecute civilians rather than officers by a significant amount. So we have to just keep all of that in mind and weigh that as we make a decision. So those are some of the things that are on my mind. And that's why I haven't made a decision at all on this. So thank you all for being involved. Thank you to Jim and David, our officers in their police department, and all those who have participated in the town hall tonight. And I'm really grateful for your contributions.
Thank you, council members, all of you. And thanks to everyone who's attended this meeting this afternoon. I'm looking forward to more discussions and more voices. I have followed the work of the evolution of the KPD for almost 40 years, particularly ever since my husband witnessed an episode of police abuse in the parking lot of our original store. I'm happy to report that that particular police officer was not with the department for very long. But I have had a significantly close relationship with the police for a long period of time, and I am confident that the KPD is one of the premier police departments in our state. Particularly under Chief Harris's leadership, I believe the department has been incredibly responsive to the needs of our growing community and has evolved in ways that are sensitive to the way our society is evolving. I consider body cams as a potential tool, and that's what this discussion is all about. Is it a tool that will further improve our police department and our ability to provide appropriate and in some ways elegant policing? I hope that that's a direction that we are going in, but I think we're in the midst of this conversation and I'm really interested in looking at the studies that I've seen some of them unfortunately, with every issue that's out there now, you can find data support going in any in either direction. So I will absolutely look at MJ studies. I've been doing as much research as I can. We're just in the beginning of this process, and I'm confident that we will end up with a decision that works for our community and works for our police department. Thank you. Jim, I'll turn it back to you.
So thank you very much, Mayor Sweet. Thank you very much, Mayor Sweet and Council. And thank you everyone who's participated tonight. We really have such gratitude for the discourse and the thoughtfulness of our community. The final notes before I turn it back to you, Mayor Sweet, to close the meeting is please take us up on our offer. It's very easy to get to our website. You just go to kirklandwa.gov. You will see the landing page that has all the information. These are the dates that we are posting now for follow-up sessions. There's 6 discrete hour sessions. The police leadership will come to them. Thank you very much. City manager staff will be there. Please feel free to send your comments in writing or send your reports to us. There is a portal in the website to send us and to make comment. And please take advantage of the text if that's your preferred method of communication. And with that, Mayor Sweet, I turn it back to you and thank you everyone.
Okay, so I guess we might've had somebody else to address us, but let's hope that, as I do see 3 hands up. Do we have time, Jim, to, I know that MJ has already spoken, and I think Maria has as well. But Stuart Early, we have not heard from.
We do have time.
David, you want to go ahead?
Sure, yeah. IT, can we please bring up Stuart Early?
Welcome, Stuart. I think you're muted, Stuart.
I'm sorry. I thank you for including me. I'm not an expert in the area, and I was late to the meeting, so I missed some, I'm sure, good conversation about it. But what I would offer is the idea that the public in general, as I understand it, are in favor of using police body cameras, as it ensures not only accountability of officers, but even as important, perhaps, accountability of the public. When a policeman has a body camera on, I think the public will behave differently. Secondly, most police departments around the world seem to be welcoming the use of police body cameras when engaging with their community. And should we not do that, I think you have to have a good reason, a good explanation for not doing it, because it seems as though others are doing it. That's really all I had to offer.
Thank you very much, Stuart. Are there any other comments tonight?
We do have 2 who have spoken already, but if there are any ones who haven't yet spoken.
Well, before closing the comment period, Mayor Sweet, if there's anyone else that would like to comment twice, we don't have a budget for if more than a few people want to do that, but it would be, we do have 15 minutes left. If a limited number of people do want to speak again, with Mayor Sweet's permission, we could do that.
Sorry, yes.
So anyone else interested in speaking again, we'll take a full raised hand and we'll see if we can budget fairly to fit it in the 15 minutes.
So it looks like we have MJ Carlson.
Is that it, David? Just one?
I see 3.
Looks like Susan also just raised.
And Maria Harwell.
Okay, so we have three. That's 9 minutes. We can fit that into our allotted time. Is anybody else interested in speaking for a second round? Hearing none, I would recommend, Mayor Sweet, that we finish up with these three and then we finished our meeting.
Thank you.
Hi again, Council. Thank you for letting me speak again. You know I could talk all day about body camera research. But I wanted specifically to follow up about the idea that's been put forward that Kirkland Police Department doesn't have a problem with violence against the community, which I just heard several council members say. And I want to read you four names: Robert Burgess, Curtis Tade, Marcelo Castellano, and Derek Sanchez. Those are four people who were shot to death by police in Kirkland since 2015. Since 2015, there have only been four homicides in Kirkland, and there have also been four police shootings, which means if you are killed by someone else in the city of Kirkland, there are 50-50 odds that it's a police officer who does it. So as we talk about police reform, as we talk about accountability, as we talk about justice and truth, I think we need to have our eyes open about what it is that we're talking about. Thank you.
Thank you, MJ. David, next.
Yeah, Maria Harwell. And then after that, Susan.
Welcome, Maria.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for letting me speak again. Really quick, I wanted to say, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of hoping this was gonna be a town hall style meeting, the kind of thing where it's a little bit more freeform. It turns out it was a little bit more structured than I was expecting. That just kind of happens, I guess. I mean, if there's any way we can fit in that kind of freeform town hall before May, that would be so good and excellent. We all know that Resolution 5434, which this body cam policy was brought up in, it's not really for you and me, right? It's actually for the people of color who are affected disproportionately by police use of force and police shootings. And I'm not sure how many people of color we had talking at today's meeting. And I think that is significant and worthy of note. One of the council members brought up the idea of body cam footage, providing information on whether a police shooting was justified or not. The idea that the camera can provide truth and perhaps it can provide the truth that it was a justified killing. I just want to repeat some numbers and let people think about it. 1,134 people were shot dead, or I'm sorry, killed by police officers. 97% of those people were shot dead by police officers in 2021. Officers were charged with a crime in only 11 cases out of 1,134, 1% of all killings by police in 2021. Either you're willing to buy that all of those decisions were just and the truth, which I can't change your mind, or you can look at it and wonder if our criminal justice system is actually following through for the members in our community who are marginalized. Police officer Geronimo Yanez charged in the murder of Philando Castile, even with video footage, found not guilty. The officers who killed Jamar Clark in Minneapolis, even with video footage, no charges filed. The officers who killed Eric Garner, even with video footage, no charges filed.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Maria. I think we have one more speaker tonight.
We have Susan.
Welcome, Susan. And please state your last name.
Hi, I just decided to speak again quickly. You know, I totally understand the people that are calling in. I think their stats are, you know, probably correct to a point. Unfortunately, they're not bringing up how many of those deaths officers were in police camps. How was it filmed? Was the person shot because they had a gun and the police officer was going to get killed? There's lots of different facts. I understand it's a complicated matter. I'm very frugal. I own a home. I don't want to pay more taxes, right? So yes, $1 million is a lot. So I guess this police force, city council, the community needs to figure out what is the main reason for possibly getting police body-worn cameras. Maybe we don't need them. I have had only positive interactions with police. Yes, I'm white, and you know, people are saying, well, you know, you can't speak. This ordinance is only for people of color. Why they even mention body cams? No, this is brought up, Prop 1, the whole community safety. I remember body cams being thrown around back then. If anyone else doesn't remember, go look at the notes. November 2018, when we did the thing, a year and a half before that, things were discussed. Now, are they going to help? Maybe not. Are they going to maybe help a victim? They could, yes. Are they going to maybe help a police officer prove that they were innocent? And when they did something like maybe they had to shoot back because someone shot at them and the person was injured, maybe. Is it going to help prevent lawsuits? Possibly. Is it going to help a domestic violence mom that's been beat up by her spouse when the police come and they're filming it and they're filming the words and all of the interactions? Could that help? Yes. How much is a life worth? If you're saving even one, two lives, $1 million a year, it doesn't sound like it's going to be too much of a fee. Now, again, I think we need the who, what, when, why, and also, again, speak to our community, speak to community stats. Don't be bringing up things that happen clear across the country, because you know what? KPD, run by the Chief Harris, it is completely different than other police, you know, in other cities. We can't just be bringing up these traumatic events, which are true, and I understand, but we are a different area, and we have a different police force, and we just have, everything is just different. And so we need to figure out what the community wants. Not that many people showed up, maybe people don't care, and it's easier for you guys to make the decision. Maybe in April, more people will show up, I don't know. I'm gonna be on spring break. I won't be able to participate, but hopefully it will. And again, listen to the people that live in this community. That's the main thing. These outsiders these people that are using outside language from police forces clear on the East Coast, doesn't make a difference. Let's speak how we feel about Kirkland Police. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Mayor Sweet, I guess I got the count wrong. David, you say there is one more speaker?
Exactly. Bill LaMarche is back. So let's go with one more and then we'll shut her down.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, Bill.
Oh, sorry, it's my mistake. Wonderful event, you folks. You've done a very good job. I just have a couple summary comments. You know, I had the privilege of being asked to be in the police academy. I must say I was stunned by the quality of the police officers and the commitment and all that sort of good stuff. But what further occurred to me in that time is I got to see some actual footage and that sort of thing of engagement, if you will. I saw things, and we were trained, or not trained, we were exposed to hostage taking, we were exposed to kidnapping, to car stopping. There was a dead guy in the trunk. Anyway, and so it caused me to remember times in past when I was involved in something like this, where you took your life in your hands as you walked down the alley as a police person or a fireman or firewoman, policewoman. And I thought, my gosh, what kind of courage and bravery exists there? Certainly there can be some bad ones in that crew. But my gosh, what I'm thinking of is that we're talking about the videos, if you will, as an instrument. Well, that's what they are, in my opinion. That what's on the video may go into court where it's determined by judicial process if they believe the video or not, or if it's complete or not. It's not decided by the police officer, at least I don't think. And so to me, as I mentioned before, I am pro cameras. I think it benefits the police person or fire person, whatever. And I think it benefits the person on the other side in terms of accountability. It's up to the judicial system to make that decision. But having that tool available, to me, it makes sense. End of discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, we're down to 4 minutes. Am I taking it back from you, Jim?
You're taking it back, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Well, with that, we are on a path. We want to thank you all who have joined us tonight to talk about body-worn cameras. There are going to be many more opportunities, which Jim outlined already, to engage on this topic in the coming weeks. So please stay a part of this community conversation, not by just visiting the website, but give us your feedback. Let us know what data you've encountered out there that is flavoring your thinking so that it might flavor ours as well. With that, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.